No need to look any farther, you chose the right station. You're now tuning in with Mr. Cowboy Nation for all your latest sport reports across the nation. So don't change your channel, you chose the right station. You're now tuning in with Mr. Cowboy Nation. So don't change your channel, you chose the right station. You're now tuning in with Mr. Cowboy Nation for all your latest sport reports across the nation. No need to look any farther, you chose the right station.
Party!
Mr. Cowboy Nation.
The blue corner.
Time for the people in the back of that thing.
Yes,
yeah, how y'all doing? Welcome to Let's Talk Football, Mr. Cowboy Nation. I am your host, Mr. Cowboy Nation. Welcome to our free agency edition. Can you dig it? Right. So we, you know, I told you I was gonna be trying to find any reason, any way to get on to come on because I miss y'all. So here it is. Free agency. Let's talk, right? All right, so Let's Talk Football, Mr. Cowboy Nation, is brought to you by Snap Pick Productions. Can you dig it? Got a YouTube channel, Mr. Cowboy Nation. All the episodes are uploaded to the YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can follow this page, which I highly recommend. Or we have a page solely dedicated to the show, Let's Talk Football, Mr. Cowboy Nation. I also highly recommend you follow that page as well, right? So IG, Mr. Cowboy Nation. So it's underscore Mr. Cowboy Nation. So, and underscore after that, too. So, all those ways you can follow the show or whatnot, can you dig it? Cash App donations, you're going to see my producer drop the Cash App tag on the front of the desk. You know, we're not asking for a certain amount. Whatever you can do is fine. Can you dig it? We are available. Or if you get your podcast, my personal favorite being Spotify. So when you go on Spotify, you look for us, you search Let's Talk Football with Mr. Cowboy Nation. Now that with Mr. Cowboy Nation is very important. Can you dig it? Because there's a lot of Let's Talk Footballs. But there's only one Let's Talk Football with Mr. Cowboy Nation. Can you dig that? All right, y'all. Let me get into it. See if I'm still I'm rusty because I've been away. Well, let me get y'all came to see this evening. See what I got going on. Pendergrass. It's in the field. Let's go, man. All right, so. Y'all thought y'all was safe for Penny because it was free agency? Ain't no games going. Y'all thought y'all was safe? No, y'all still not safe. Y'all still not safe. Penny pulling up regardless. Can you dig it? And why Penny pulling up? Cleveland, come on, see me. Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns. So, as you all know, they gave Deshaun Watson one of the highest guaranteed contracts ever, right? History of this league. We don't know where Deshaun Watson going to play. Miles Garrett said, I'm ready to go trade me, right? I'm ready to go trade me. Now, you'll think for a team that needs a quarterback, right? That needs a quarterback desperately because Let's just be honest. Deshaun Watson ain't been Houston Texans Deshaun Watson since he's been in Cleveland. But you gave him all this money, right? So you in trouble at the quarterback position. Your star pass rusher wants to leave, right? Right? It's easy. Trade him. Get a cash ransom. Rebuild your team. Right? That's what any. It makes sense to me. Miles Garrett want to be traded. This is perfect for Cleveland. Trade them off. Get multiple first-round picks. Rebuild your team. You can get you a quarterback and everything. All right, you can totally rebuild. Now, we're going to give Miles Garrett $40 million a year to stay here, and we still don't have a quarterback. So what are y'all trying, Cleveland, what are y'all trying to do exactly? Right, so y'all trying to build a team? Are y'all trying to build a team, right, that holds a team to 10 points, but you lose 12 to 10? Like, what's going on? Like, this looks very, what was that, was 3-14 last season? Yeah, this look we're like 5-12-ish. Y'all may win 2 more games. Y'all got to, I don't understand. Miles Garrett would have been gone, and I would have had a King's ransom in position to rebuild my whole franchise, right? I mean, I'm just saying. But it's Cleveland, and that's why they got to come see. Come over there and see me, Cleveland. Cleveland Browns fans, oh, my. Yeah, bad. It's going to be bad for y'all, bro. It's going to be bad. And all these Cowboys fans complaining about Jerry, it could be worse, right? All right, so next. I got to do my dance. I'm finna do the beat and everything. I'm going to give y'all a hint on who coming down here next. Watch this. Bang, bang. Niner gang. Saint Fran, come on, Dave. Saint Fran, come on, Dave. Yep, it was all good just a week ago. You know what I'm saying? When y'all had that rookie QB paying them pennies. Can you dig it? You was able to pay Debo a whole bunch of money. Ayuk a whole bunch of money. Trent Williams a whole bunch of money. Warner a whole bunch of money. Right? Because you were paying the quarterback nothing. Right? But how the tables have turned. That rookie deal that ran out. Hey, Renata, how you doing, baby girl? The rookie deal that ran out. Can you dig it? And he wants upwards of $60 million, like Randy Coleman Prescott. And I told you so. I'm coming. If I'm Brock Purdy, I'm coming in at $62 million. Please believe I'm coming in at $62 million. Because the guy beating the playoffs just got $60 million, right? So I'm coming in at $62 million. And that's where we're going to start. Said, Fred, y'all are in trouble, right? Because we about to find out why Brock Purdy was drafted dead last in the draft. We about to find out. Yeah, we about to find out, right? Yeah, so this will be worse than, this will be worse than us paying Dak $60 million. Dak's a fourth round pick. You can say what you want about Dak. But Dak has there was a point in time where I said, dude, if you put Dak on San Francisco's team, San Francisco probably go undefeated. Like, when they had all the all-pro, Christian McCaffrey, Debo was doing what he was doing, Ayuk was killing, right? Kittle was doing his thing. Like, when they was at full strength, if you put that pressure on that team, the boys go undefeated. Right? They'll go undefeated, right? So, the talent, the supporting cast is about to dwindle down. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I think we about to figure out why he was drafted dead last overall. And I'm going to draw every minute. Can you dig it? So, San Fran, you know, y'all had your opportunity. But hey, man, you know, it is what it is. I wish I had that song. What's it? Sounds of Blackness. Bad to life. I wish I had this song queued up. I really wish I had this song. Yeah, because y'all finna come on back down here. Come on back down to earth with us. And all the bandwagon for 49ers fans about to disappear. We're going to be turning over rocks looking for San Francisco 49ers fans once again. Come on down and see if you said prayer. I got some nice people that suicide prevention y'all can call. There's going to be a long season. Yep. So, holla at your boy. I put the suicide prevention number up, man. I know y'all gonna be on watch. Had to take your shoelaces out your shoes and everything. But hey, just holla at my guys. I'll be here for you. Oh, man. All right, but San Fran, we're getting to y'all a little later in the show. Let me get a word from our sponsor and get myself back together.
Introducing SnapX Podcast Network. Give your voice a platform through podcasting. If you're thinking about starting a podcast or already have one, let us help you. Contact us when you're ready at www.snapxpodcast.com. That's www.snapxpodcast.com. The SnapX Podcast Network.
All right. So, question of the day. This is the question of the day. Which top free agent signings do you want to see? So, when I made this outline, you know, some things have transpired since I made the outline. So, since I made the outline, this is who I have as top free agents. So, I got Amari Cooper, Asante Samuel Jr., which I would love to have in Dallas to replace Jordan Lewis. Right? So, I would love to have Amari Cooper as well. Stephon Diggs, who has since signed with the New England Patriots. I think he a three-year deal or something with the Patriots. I know. No, I think it was a three-year deal. He signed a deal with the Patriots. I want to say it was 10 and a half mil, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure the length of the years. Justin Simmons and Keenan Allen. I've heard some talk about Keenan Allen coming to Dallas. I'm not sure if I want Keenan Allen. Hey, Marguerite, how you doing, baby girl? So, I'm not sure if I want Keenan Allen. He's injury-prone. But Amari Cooper and Asante Samuel Jr., I would love to have in Dallas. I'm going to have to speak on Asante's father later on in the show. Because he said some things that just didn't make sense to me. So I'm going to put it like that. All right, so I'm going to move on to the free agency winners. You got, in my book, you got the Broncos and the Commanders, right? Really, 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 really made some moves. You know what I'm saying? So, the Broncos are signing. I like the Evan Engram signing, right? Give Bo Nix an explosive tight end. You know what I'm saying? So Sean Payton is quietly building a squad over there in Denver. Then you got Dre Greenlaw, you got Enforcer, and you got, oh my. So San Fran, if any 49ers fans are here, let me know if I'm pronouncing this name right. Talanoa Hufanga, right? So, Talanoa Hufanga, the safety from San Fran, I also went over there, right? So, I'm saying, man, I like what Denver doing. Made the playoffs last year with $80 million in dead cap space, but Jerry Jones can't afford to get Dak no help. But that's neither here nor there. We're not here to talk about that right now. All right, so the Commanders, Deebo Samuel, Larry Metunson, and Javon Kinlaw. I like all three of those signings as well, right? Javon Kinlaw makes them even stouter in the front, up front. They lost Allen, right? So kind of replaces the Allen loss. Larry Metunson, nice tackle, protecting young quarterback Deebo. I think Deebo could be productive in this offense. Deebo was, and when he was in San Fran, he was saying he wanted to be used more like a traditional wide receiver. He's not a running back. And we was like, yeah, bro, you are a running back. Yeah, they line you up as a wide receiver, but you kind of are a running back, Deebo. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I wonder if Washington's going to get any pushback. If they're going to let them run routes, and then, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to see the dynamic, like how is they going to fit. But it has the potential to be a great signing, right? And anytime you try to prove yourself in the trenches, I'm with it. So I love the Thompson and Kinlaw signings as well. All right, so let's go over to the losers, the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers, right? The 49ers lost six major contributors. Tre'Davious Ward, Big John Hargrave, Greenlaw, Hufanga, Deebo, Kinlaw, right? They just had a fire sale, right? So and that's what made it so funny to me. Like the Cowboy Nation, we had a bad year at 7-10, right? So the 49ers had a worse year than us, and they responded by having a fire sale. I'm just trying to keep everything in perspective. Y'all, while y'all just really clowning Jerry Jones, we could be San Fran. We could be coming off of worse than 6-7-10 season, having a fire sale. We could. That could be us. Right? It could be worse. But, you know, I'll get into the Cowboys moves a little later. But I like, San Fran clearly is one of the teams that should be concerned going into next season. Also, and I got the Browns just because of the way they handled the Myles Garrett situation, right? You really should have traded him away, got you a bevy of picks, rebuild the team, possibly salvage the quarterback, because you clearly have a quarterback situation that needs to be addressed immediately. You understand? So why not trade, get a Kings ransom for Myles Garrett and fix your team, rebuild your team? Right? It makes sense to me. But, you know, it's the Browns. It's the Browns. Right? And I got the Eagles on here because of the O-line and secondary losses. Right? I felt like the O-line was the reason Philadelphia was able to do what they did last year. Right? And I don't think Saquon will argue with that. He had a 2,000-yard season, MVP considerations. Can you dig it? He don't do that without an O-line. So, major losses on the O-line, changes in the secondary. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. I think Philly has lost more than they brought in. Now, if they hit on a couple draft picks, who knows? But I don't know. I think they lost a lot. But Graham retiring as well. You know what I'm saying? So I think they lost a lot on and off the field. Like, because Brandon Graham retiring, you lose something from a leadership standpoint, locker room, right? So, yeah, we'll see. And that's going to show up. I don't care how good Jalen Hurts, you know what I'm saying, is on the defensive side of the ball, that's going to show up. I think Philly lost a lot, you know. I think they're going to take a step back. All right, so, y'all know we got March Madness going on, right? Who do y'all have? Like, those of you who's watching the tournament, who looks like the team to beat to you, right? So, and I got a few teams that kind of stuck out to me. Duke and Ole Miss for sure, right? Michigan looks pretty solid, but I don't know. I think Cooper Flagg gonna have something to say about this national championship, bro. I'm just gonna be honest, and you know, Duke is looking real strong, and I hate Duke. Just if y'all wonder who my college football basketball team is, it's, you know, I'm a University of Memphis. I stay in Memphis, so I'm already sour about the tournament. Right, I had to make myself start back watching it. So not happy about the way the Tigers left the tournament. You understand? But Duke looks good, man. I've never been a fan of Duke, but I gotta call a spade a spade. Duke looks good. Cooper Flagg looks as advertised. I'm just saying. But you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. This March Madness, the tournaments are crazy. You never know who will do what, right? That's what's so great about it. But I'm just saying, my eyes on Duke. My money ain't on Duke right now, but my eyes on him. I'm going to say that. And y'all know I'm an SEC guy when it comes to football. I just think it's funny that the SEC is really showing a strong presence in the NCAA tournament and basketball. They already was running in football. Now I'm just saying, bro. Like, y'all can quit hating on the SEC, man. It's great sports. I played in the SEC. Great athletes. The best athletes go to the SEC. You know, you can hate all you want, but it is what it is. Proof is in the pudding. Can't you dig it? All right, so I got some things I want to touch on, man. Shedeur Sanders, right? Ryan Clark made a comment. He said that Shedeur Sanders, the reason Shedeur Sanders stock is dropping is because he black. It's Ryan Clark said, not me. It's Ryan Clark said, right? Now, I agree. I agree with Ryan Clark, you know. But one of the things that stood out, and the reason I say that, because if I told you, you're a GM, right? You look in the draft for quarterback, and I tell you, I got this kid. Not the best athlete, you know. He's mobile enough with his feet. Very accurate with the ball. Throws the ball on time. Seems to have a pretty good understanding of what defenses like to do with him. Off-platform throws are not really his strong suit, but pocket passing is pretty good. It's pretty good, right? Throws the ball on time. Has won big games in college, right? Turned the two-win franchise around. I mean, a two-win team, school around, school program around. So almost making the college playoffs, right? Set records in the conference, passing records. Which, right? So would you question whether he can play in the league if he's a great pocket passer? He has great anticipation. He's very accurate with the ball. Throws the ball on time, right? That's kind of what you need to play quarterback in the league. Those are kind of like non-negotiables. Like, you have to be able to do this. You have to be able to have pocket presence. You have to be accurate with the ball. You have to throw the ball on time in the pro-style offense. You have to. Any way around it. And Shadur does all the, he checks all those boxes. Right? So, and we saying, well, you know, okay, Bud, what did you got my play cousin in here? So, he's checking all those boxes, right? Not the best athlete. Off-platform stuff is not really a strong suit. But, you get him a good O-line, yeah, he can, you know, he can make all the throws, right? We've seen him make big clutch throws. Would this stock fall, right? If you were GM, could I interest you in that? If you were GM and you need a quarterback? I hadn't told you nothing about this kid as far as race, color, creed. I'm just on the field, right? So, and that's one of the things that I love about, talking about Shadur, okay, but these are one of the things I'm talking about. This is one of the things I love about sports. It don't matter race, color, creed, religion, none of that matters. Like, when we playing sports, when we on the field, when we on the court, the only thing that matters is can you play? Right? If I step on the basketball court, I see a Muslim cat come out there, I don't care nothing about that. Can he play? Because if he can't play, I got work for him. Right? Like, and that's as a competitor, as an athlete, that's what it comes down to, right? Why are we worried about one GM said, well, we got the impression that he didn't care what we thought about him. Why should he care what you think about him? He's there for a job. He's there for a job. So do you think he's qualified to do the job or not? You know what I'm saying? So, and like I said, in sports, that's all that matters. Can you play, right? So do you think he's qualified for the job? Can he do the job or can't he do the job? It doesn't matter what you think about him personally. It matters what you think about him professionally. You understand? So, and you know, I don't know. I'm with Ryan Clark, bro. I'm with Ryan Clark because I'm going to say this. And on the outline, I wrote Shadur Sanders, arrogant or confident. And I'm willing to bet my money on confident. Maybe he wasn't. I'm like, when they say he was arrogant, I'm like, was he arrogant or was he just confident in himself? Because from what I saw in the press conferences, I heard a young man that was confident in himself. It was confident in the work he put in. It was confident in what he put on film throughout his college campaign. That's what I heard. I heard a kid that was confident in himself. So, and I feel like, you know, ooh, boy, I'm finna jump some D-Wad. It is what it is. So I feel like, man, when black men are confident, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. People get uncomfortable when black men are too confident, right? And I feel like that's where the hate comes from with Deion. Deion hadn't disrespected anybody. All he's done is try to get his boys to believe that they can do anything. He tried to instill greatness and confidence in the kids that play for him, and as any coach should. He's the greatest corner to ever play the game, right? So how can he not preach greatness? if he's the greatest corner to ever play the game, you have to be confident in order to obtain that distinction, right? There's no way Deion is regarded as the greatest corner to ever play if he's not confident in himself. There's no way that happens. So we loved him when he was playing, but now he's a coach and he's telling other young men to be confident. Now it's a problem, right? Now they don't like Deion. Now you really slick, don't want Deion to win, right? And his son is the same way. Walked it like he talked it, right? Now he's in these interviews, confident in the interviews, and is rubbing these GMs the wrong way because he's confident. I tell you this, you need a quarterback and you pass on him, I hope he smoke you. I hope he smoke you. I hope he line you up and give you 500 in 4 tubs. I hope he smoke you because you're out of order, right? So the question we should be asking is, can he play quarterback? That's all that matters. Shadur's not getting in trouble off the field. He had no legal issues. He's a professional. Right? So what are we talking about? Arrogant. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'll pass on him. That's all I'm saying, pass on him. I just didn't like the way that whole thing went down, man. I had to say something. We got in the comment section. If Shadur falls to 12, Shadur would not fall to 12, but if he does, absolutely. Absolutely capable. Those GMs didn't like, they ain't like Prime. But I bet they wish they drafted them, though. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you, boo. I bet they wish they drafted them. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, man. So, let's slide over to the NCAA. My girl Juju Watkins, man. Prayers out to Juju Watkins. Juju tore ACL last night, right? Tragic. Tragic. So, and like, to go back to what I was saying in the Shadur Sanders topic, in sports, all that matters is, can you play, right? So, if any hooper, if you're a hooper, if you watch Juju, you know what I'm saying? You like, man, that heifer bad. Right? So, like, I know, you know, I don't mean heifer in a disrespectful way. You know, that's how black people talk. But I mean it in a loving manner. Can you dig it? So when you see her, it's man, like, but like she got work. And you can tell she works her behind off in the gym, right? So and I really wanted to see her make a, because I felt like she would have had something to say about the national championship. Like, she's that good. You know what I'm saying? So to see her go down like that was tragic. Prayers up for Juju. You know. We're hoping for a speedy recovery. And I know this is a tragic time for her. Can you dig it? But I'm going to tell you who is a great opportunity for. Jaden Daniels. Jaden, shoot the shot. Shoot the shot. Here you go, Jaden. Here it is. You know, she need to be nursed back to health, Jaden. Perfect opportunity for you. I'm rooting for you, bro. All right, so... Hey, whatever, man. I wasn't the only one when I saw Juju and Jaden at the game. Left, I said, oh, man, we need that to happen, bro. Like, we so need them to be a couple, right? They just instantly look like a couple, right? So, Jaden, man, shoot that shot, bro. Jaden, shoot that shot, bro. We need this to happen. Yeah, she is, man. She's something serious, man, with that rock, though. I got to take my hat off to her. She a bad girl, man. Tush push. So, I've been gone for a minute, right? So, we got to cover a lot of ground. The tush push. Man! Hey, you see how the mama... You see the mama... The mama came through like Mutombo. Why? No, no, no. Said, right? Mama said in the middle of the boat. She was like, nah, I'm breaking all this up. Y'all can go ahead and slap. You can slide that way. You can slide that way. Let me go and get in the middle. Ain't none of this going down. Yeah, mama out of order, man. Mama, she a good one, mama. She a good one, mama. Let her through, mama. Oh, she only 19, bro? Nah, I'm with Ma then. Alright, so Tush Push. The Green Bay Packers trying to ban the Tush Push. You know, they went to the the league office or whatnot and complaining about the Tush Push, want to ban the Tush Push. And look, man. Look. Look, man. Look, Green Bay, bro. Look. Look, man. Look, look. As a Cowboys fan, Big Lou, what it do, man? We got a big time show in the building. As a Cowboys fan, nothing would warm my heart more than seeing the Philadelphia Eagles getting screwed. Right? Nothing. But I can't roll with y'all. Green Bay can't roll with this is giving soft. This is giving not really about their life. Not really wanting to play football. Him playing too rough. That's what I'm getting, Green Bay. Y'all need to do some push-ups, bro. You know, absolutely not. Don't ban the Tush Push. If they want to have their center bang his head up against the wall, so be it. So be it. Philly didn't go undefeated last year. They lost a couple games, right? So the Tush Push don't make them unstoppable. How about you just play better defense and keep them out of third and less than a yard? How about that, right? Yeah, I bet we won't see a Tush Push on third and four. I bet we won't see a Tush Push on fourth and four. I bet we won't. Right? So, Green Bay, you know, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Y'all need to toughen up. Y'all need to toughen up, man. I can't ride with you on this one. Leave the Tush Push in. I just think we need to man up and figure out what we're going to do. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I can't rock with you. All right, so, Asante Samuel. Yeah. I got to tell y'all about Asante Samuel. Woo, child, get him. Asante Samuel said, he'll take five of his seasons and put it up against Deion's whole career. And he'll come out on top. He said, man, Deion ain't had but six interceptions. Tops a whole season. I done did that 3-4 times. And all of that may be true. But let's compare apples to apples, right? And oranges to oranges. Let's keep everything. It's called the Diddy Push. The Diddy Push, Johnson & Johnson. All right, so let's keep everything in perspective, right? Let's compare apples to apples. Can you dig it? So, when Deion was playing, it was not a passing league like it was now. More run oriented and all that. Can you dig it? So, the team that was winning back then was the Dallas Cowboys, right? We it was pretty much us and San Fran. Both heavy run teams. You know what I'm saying? Both heavy run teams. Not a lot of passing going on. Right? So we start there. Then on top of that, this guy got a whole, if a quarterback draw back and Deion over there, he not even looking over here no more. That's over with. I don't give a damn what the route comes self is over here. Deion over there. I got to find some. This is literally how quarterbacks was playing defenses with Deion Sanders on them. Right? And even playing like that, you saying our stats close? Our stats close. They seeing him and turning his back to him, and he still got as many picks as you who got thrown on all the time? Like, what no quarterback dropping back saying to Asante Samuel and say, oh, hell no. What nobody doing that? Well, nobody doing. They were trying to run double moves on you because you bite too much. Right? You can fool these other people, bro, but I watch film. Like, you got consecrated. We watch film, bro. We know the game for real. You talking about if you ain't T-breaking, you ain't getting to the ball, man. Do you understand that this man ran a 4-2 for breakfast? His words, not mine. He ran a 4-2. He probably like, what the hell is T-breaking? That's for slow dudes, right? That's for you 4-4 guys. Hey, you 4-4 guys need to T-break. I'm a 4-2 guy. What is T-breaking? Right? Stop. Asante Samuel, stop, bro. Chill out. I don't know what your weed man gave you this time, bro, but yeah. Don't smoke no more of that and come back on. That strand ain't good for you, my boy. That strand ain't good for you, man. Got you looking foolish out here. Yeah, chill out or something. Chill out. Right, and my play cousin. Yeah, he said prime cover half. K Boog said prime cover half the field. Literally. Right? So, and for you to say you been, dude, K Boog just mentioned Champ Bailey, Rod Woodson, Darrell Revis, who all I take over Asante Samuel. I would take all three of those corners over Asante Samuel, right? And everybody in their prime, right? I'm taking all three of them corners over Asante Samuel right now. I take Rod Woodson, Darrell Revis, or Champ Bailey. Or Champ Bailey. Yeah. I take any one of them three over Asante Samuel right now, right? And it's not to say Asante Samuel was a bum. He wasn't a bum. He was a damn good corner, right? But he was never a lockdown guy. He was never somebody that you can say, hey, I'm going to put Asante Samuel on him and make him disappear. Right? No. I saw Darrell Revis lock up a whole side of the field one game. And they were trying him. Right? He gave up nothing the whole game. And they lined up three or four different receivers on him. He gave up nothing the whole game. That's a lockdown corner. If there was Deion getting tried that much, Deion probably took two back to the house. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, Asante, chill out, bro. Chill out. Don't let them pick sixes. You know, you looking crazy out here. And he was great at breaking on the ball, jumping routes. He was a very intelligent corner, right? He was very familiar with route concepts. And he gambled a lot. And a lot of times he won more than he lost. He did. But to say you didn't, bro, you wasn't covering like that. You were a zone guy. You wasn't somebody we was lining up across and put your hands on them. And you weren't that, Asante. Stop, bro. Cut it out, man. You out of order. You are out of order, bro. You are all the way out of order, man. And you need to stop. Yeah, that weed man gave you some bad gas. you were feeling good, Jack. Oh, man. All right, so, and getting to the state of the Cowboys. I got some stuff on the Cowboys. So, ESPN, right? ESPN. So bogus. They had got so bogus, I had to stop watching them, right? Because you could tell coming into the season, they had a preconceived narrative that they were going to push that the Cowboys were being quiet in the offseason and doing nothing. You could tell they expected the Cowboys to do nothing again, right? And that's the narrative that they came out with. But the fact of the matter is the Cowboys actually made some pretty good moves, right? And they've been very uncharacteristic here in free agency, you know, compared to previous years, I'm going to say that. So, even with all this going on, ESPN was still on saying, oh, the Cowboys are so quiet, they're not doing nothing, and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, dude, they done rebuilt the whole defensive front. Right? Got a couple of D linemen, a couple of linebackers, another corner. They did all this before free agency. Two running backs, two O linemen. Resigned Brock Hoffman on top of the two O linemen. Right? Added, and let's get to it. Five former first round picks. Peyton Turner, that came from the Saints. Dante Fowler coming back. Kyir Elam. Kenneth Murray and Solomon Thomas. All former first round picks. All added on the roster by the Dallas Cowboys. Right? So, to say that the Cowboys are doing nothing was, you know, a bit idiotic. How is adding five former first round picks, recent first round picks now? These guys are first round, these are young first round. Well, Thomas kind of up in age, but these other guys are pretty young. Turner's young, Elam's young, Murray's young. First round picks, though. You know what I'm saying? So, had to say that they're doing nothing? Really? Really? I didn't really, though. Right? So, you can tell they had a preconceived narrative that they were going to push out. You know what I'm saying? But you had some people, some crybaby Cowboy fans that wanted, you know, they wanted Stephon Diggs on wide receiver, draft Anson Jennings at 12, all the big names, right? Yeah, you know, go get Myles Garrett too while you're at it. Straight from Myles Garrett, sign Stephon Diggs, right? Houseway, how we gonna do all this? How we gonna pull all this out, right? All these people want top dollar. How we gonna do all this, right? So, and those are the fans that bit the cheese when they said, "Hey, man, Jerry's not doing nothing. Y'all should be upset again." You know, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you shouldn't be upset again. You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be upset. You really should be. You should be confident. If you really look at the moves, like, and there's some of us out there who see what's happening, and I'm with it, right? So, all right. So regime change, rebuild. I got this in the outline. So you got a regime change with Schottenheimer, who I'm finna go directly to after I say this. So you're gonna see new coaches via Matt Eberflus, right? So when Matt Eberflus comes in, he's running a totally different scheme than a Mike Zimmer, right? So that's why you see, it's a lot of transition. You're gonna see a lot of different players. You saw D-Law gone, right? A lot of players off the defense, they didn't bring back. Chauncey gone, he out of here, right? Jordan Lewis out of here. And you saw, you know, Kyrie Elam and these other guys. The Murray is perfect for what Eberflus wants to do on defense. He's exactly just like when Zim brought Kendricks in with him. This is the equivalent of Zim bringing Kendricks. Eberflus bringing Murray. You understand? So Murray is going to be able to get the guys lined up. He's going to be able to play the new scheme pretty good, right? Smart move. I understood everything that they were doing. You understand? So, the coaching staff, offensive line coach, that's the offensive coordinator. You know, offensive coordinator is a former O-line coach. So, you know they're going to run the ball. Because everybody knows O-linemen would prefer run blocking versus pass blocking. So, it's going to be a run-heavy offense. Right? Which is what Dak Prescott needs more than anything in this world. He needs a strong run game, right? So, if Schottenheimer can incorporate a strong run game, like I see where they're trying to go, but you still got people who, you know, who complain and this, that, and the third, right? So Schottenheimer affecting the culture change, right? So we all said, we feel like the culture was a problem in Dallas. So, I think CeeDee Lamb restructuring his deal and Dak Prescott restructuring their deal as well. showed, it was a good sign, right? It was a good sign. Hey, I'm willing to help the team bring more people in, and let's make a run at it. Seems like everybody's bought in. You hear Michael Parsons say, hey, I don't have to have $40 million, you know, let's just go ahead and get it done. I take 30 to get some. So you see Osa and Digazua took a team friendly deal, right? And in which I think the Osa signing was huge, considering, again, a new scheme, cover two, thank Warren Sapp and Henry Melton in the cover two, and then thank Osa and Digazua, right? So if Digazua could possibly be a first team all pro in this defense, this scheme is tailor made for him. And to get that guy for less than $20 million a year, that was a steal. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Cowboys made some really nice moves, but like I said, you saw and Osa really took a pay cut. He took a pay cut. He was number one in QB presses, number one in QB hits amongst D tackles. He took a pay cut, dude. He probably could have got 25 somewhere else. I'm just saying. So you know the Schottenheimer hire took a lot of fire and all that, but it's looking good. Like the Cowboys plugged all these holes. Maybe Schottenheimer has talked some sense into Jerry, because we all agree that Jerry has been very uncharacteristic. Right? This is not the same offseason that we've been accustomed to. I think we all can agree on that. So maybe Schottenheimer has talked some sense into Jerry. I'm just saying. And I told y'all to chill out and see how this Schottenheimer, how it look, before you go out here buying Eagles jerseys, making a fool of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, but speaking of making a fool of themselves, I'm going to spin the block. What you got? Okay, Bull. We need to sign. You like Kenny? Man, I'm scared Keenan Allen not going to be able to stay on the field, Bull. He stay hurt. We just need a big one tech DT. Man, or we need Mozzie to show up. That'd be awesome. If Mozzie can show up at the one, that'd be great. But, you know, I'm with you, though. But speaking of making a fool of themselves, we had a former Cowboy, DeMarcus Lawrence, recently signed a deal with the Seahawks. I think it's like $14 million a year or something like that, right? And that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. You know, I can't knock a man for getting his money. Also, shout out to J. Lou. J. Lou signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Jags, $10 million a year for a slot corner. You can't, look, bro, get paid. You know what I'm saying? You can't get mad at J. Lou for taking his money. You can't get mad for D. Law for taking their money, right? You can't get mad at those guys. Like, at the end of the day, you do this to feed your family. If there's more money elsewhere, go get paid. I'm always say that, right? But to get over there, D-Law, and say, well, I know I was never going to win a Super Bowl there. Like you, D-Law, wasn't a player on the field. Like you, D-Law, wasn't a defensive end in the defensive front that religiously gave up 220 yards rushing. Down the stretch going into the playoff. The worst possible time to be giving up 220 yards rushing. Y'all was handing them out like open rifle. You was on that front. You was one of the leaders on that front. Couldn't stop a nosebleed on the ground. Right? But I thought I was never going to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. You're right. It's hard to win a Super Bowl when you can't stop the run. When you can't stop a guy from a team from rushing for 220 yards, it's damn near impossible to win the Super Bowl, D-Law. I don't care who the quarterback is. It's damn near impossible to win the Super Bowl when you are religiously giving up 220 yards rushing. Down the stretch going into the playoffs. So, yeah, you right. You right. You not. Yeah, I'm tired. And then had a nerve after you give up 200 1,020,000 to the Packers at home after you went undefeated. Let the Packers come in AT&T Stadium rush for 1,000,000 yards, right? You had the nerve, the audacity to go on ESPN and sit in front of the most notorious Cowboy hater, Stephen A. Smith, and say, we was just tired. Boy, if you don't get your ass out of Dallas right now, I was ready to ship him out right then. That was you came up with? We were burnt out. We were tired. What? And they had to say, yeah, I know this. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You probably, at this point, D-Law, you were part of the reason why we was never going to win the Super Bowl. Because who the hell gets tired when you got a playoff game at home against a 7 seed? Why are you not rest up? Do you want to win a Super Bowl or not? Do you want to make a deep playoff run or not? How the hell are you tired? Everybody tired. Everybody banged up. Everybody less than 100%. You just chose to lay down. You went on ESPN, basically, and told them that you chose to lay down, but then had a nerve to take shots at the Cowboys when they wouldn't overpay you for being hurt again. That says a lot. You understand? That says a lot, bro. That says a lot. And I, for one, glad you're gone. I'd rather have Sam Williams over there anyway. Give me somebody that suplexes running back. Yeah, that's what I want. Give me a dog. I don't want nobody that's going to lay down on me in the playoffs and then go on ESPN and admit he did it. We don't need that. We don't need that, D-Law. So, good luck. Win the Super Bowl in Seattle with Sam Darnold and 1.5 wide receiver because Cooper Kupp going to be hurt half the year. So, good luck with that. Good luck with that, man. And then he had the nerve to issue out a letter, you know. I don't want no apology. I don't want nothing from you. Nothing. I just hope we see Seattle. I hope I see you in the playoffs and we smoke you. That's what I hope. That's what I hope, D-Law. If I had your jersey, I'd burn it, but I never really thought you would like that to get your jersey. I always felt like you had one good year at the right time, which is a contract year. You know what I'm saying? But you never really did nothing after that. And to be honest, you really never did nothing before that. You flashed here and there. You know what I'm saying? But the contract year, you really put it all together and got paid, and you couldn't put it together again. So you kind of robbed us for the majority of the time you was here. That's how I feel. Right? And I ain't the only one. It's a lot of my brothers and sisters in Cowboy Nation feel the same way. You really robbed us for the time, the 11 years you was here. That 11 years, you probably gave us 3 good ones out of 11. But you got paid the Kings, man. You was getting paid like Aaron Donald, for peace sake. And was nowhere near it. All right, so for you to go somewhere else and take shots, man, that's foul, bro. That's foul. And I can't wait to catch you in these streets. Can you dig it? I can't wait to catch you in these streets, D-Law. All right, so that's it for me, man. I'm going to slide on out of here. I appreciate y'all for coming through. See, hope you love. Man, it rain forever in Seattle, don't it? Yeah, so I appreciate y'all for coming through, man. Post-draft show, y'all will see me around draft time, probably, you know, definitely post-draft. I may do a pre-draft show, too. But we'll see. Like I said, I miss y'all, so I'm going to be just thinking of any reason to come back and go live. Follow the page and stay in the loop with the Nate Show and everything that's going on with this channel, man. I want to say post-draft, but I may come on sooner. But until next time, this is Cowboy Nation, challenging you not to be good, but to be great. Thank you.